Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Well, it's that time of the year. We never thought we'd get here, Body. It's 2021. It's January. The season hasn't started, but we're ready to go this Friday night. And I, like I'm sure you, are extremely pumped and excited. Welcome to this NBL Preview Podcast.
Thank you very much. And may I say, it's been really difficult to write. It was really difficult to write the season preview at the blog, because when you're typing and you've got your fingers crossed, it's very difficult. And I've got my fingers crossed that we don't have anything happen between now and round one, round two, that, you know, because it's such a tenuous situation, and every team and the league has to be so flexible that it's a credit to them, to everybody involved, that we're getting a season.
Well, let's start with that. I think that's the key, isn't it? Kudos to the NBL. We've been saying it for years, the way they've been handling themselves, but they've just shown why they're at the top of the tree when they come to administration. They haven't come out and said, here's all the games we're going to do. They've just come out and said, look, we don't know. The way this league is at the moment, the way COVID is, we don't know. We've given round one, and they told everyone they've just bought out round two, and we'll go through both of those, Body. And basically said, that's all we're going to do. I can talk as a commentator. They've basically said, look, tell us what your availability is. We'll give you as much notice as we can. Don't expect Sydney or Illawarra to be coming home soon. But it's been real dramas. Talk to me from your side, mate.
Well, I just think that it's been terrific that the league is so prudent and careful, and also that it has contingency plans. I mean, you know, they shipped the Melbourne teams to Bendigo for a while, then down to Hobart for a bit. You know, they've moved teams around. They've tried to sort of stay ahead of the curve, which is so difficult, you know. And they've, you know, everything that's coming out is very positive. That's about the only thing we don't want is any positive tests, but, you know, positive in terms of going forward. I think they've been really good, and I think the clubs have been great too, because it's got to be difficult when you don't know, okay, we're preparing for our first game on January 10, we're training for that. Oh, no, that's not happening now. It's January 15 or 16, or, you know, you've got to be flexible, so flexible and so able to move at short notice, that it is a credit to all the team, everybody involved, that we've got a season happening. And
hats off,
basically.
I agree. The saviour in Larry Kesselman, he just keeps saving it, doesn't he? He's been amazing. So let's go straight into some previews. We'll come back to the games that are coming this weekend and the following weekend. We can talk about the first two rounds. But I really want to start with the teams, because there's been a lot of changes, as we expect. Yep. And I obviously we'll start with alphabetical order, and let's go with Adelaide, same thing. And
no, it isn't really. I'm a Cairns man now. I'm sorry. I'm definitely a Cairns man. I love the way they played. I love the way the Phoenix played last year. If anything, I was on those two teams, and then Phoenix fell away. Cairns got better. Locked down in my toilet? No, no.
You're saying that out loud in Adelaide?
Yeah. Look, I don't. There's one South Australian on the Adelaide team. I mean, you know, cut it out. 1985, when Adelaide became the only team representing South Australia in the NBL, it had a couple of imports, and everybody else was from Adelaide. And I think with Mike Dunlap in about 94, when he came in, it became irrelevant where you were from. And his attitude was, I remember we had a conversation there, and he said, look, the Toronto Blue Jays, or whatever they're called, had just won Major League Baseball or something. And he said, and, you know, they're being feted and they're going through the streets and everyone loves them. And there's not a player from Toronto in that team. And that's the way it is in professional sports. And I think, okay, fair enough, that might be the way it is in professional sports in America. But he'd like to have some connection. Now, for me,
they're still that old school. You're right.
Yeah, for me, the 36ers, they don't wear the state colours anymore. They're not wearing, you know, royal blue, red, gold. They're wearing, I don't know, navy blue, bronze, pink, all kinds of stuff that I don't connect with. And they don't, there's one South Australian in the group, Alex Madronia, you know, and I find it hard to identify with that team. So now, if I'm just going to sit back and go, who am I enjoying watching? Well, the answer is Cairns.
Okay, well, let's stay on Adelaide at the moment. We'll come back to Cairns, because they'll come up first. Adelaide obviously finished seventh last year in the 12-16 season. They got rid of their coach, which was well documented. Some players had some falling outs, and they've moved on as well. Connor Henry has now taken over. Connor Henry was an assistant coach at Perth and head coach there for a little while, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And then he came over to Sydney. I had a little bit of dealings with him when he was an assistant coach to Ian Rabillion. and then went overseas and did what he's done. So they've got some interesting. Their money man obviously is Daniel Johnson. He will be the man that's got to take them through the glorious times. So talk to me on what you think of Adelaide.
I like Josh Giddey. I think he's a very strong candidate for Rookie of the Year. He'd definitely be in that conversation. You know, that little baseline drive he took against Cairns in the practice game the other day, which you may have seen in the highlights. And just threw it
the
down.
Double-handed dunk,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it reminded me so much of his dad. Yeah, never. Yeah,
yes,
said that. Yeah,
yes.
Like the defensive player that was got out of his way.
I was going to say, reminded you of your dad, the V dunk in two hands. That's the same chance.
Actually, it probably reminded me more of his mum, Kim, because she used to be able to shoot the ball. But anyway, I like him. I'm interested to see how the dynamic works with Isaac Humphries and Daniel Johnson in the lineup at the same time. I think offensively that Twin Towers thing could be really good. Defensively, I think it could be exploited and exposed unless they're playing some zone. So I think Sloan is a very good import. He's shrewd. He's smart. He's been around. I like the pieces, but it's a whole new era here in Adelaide. It's a whole new group, whole new coaching philosophy, and I think it's going to take time. I think they're going to be a work in progress, and I don't really see that reaching its fulfillment this season. I think that's a longer-term project. So I've got them down. I think I have them as eighth, but in all honesty, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth are all interchangeable in my mind. I'll wait till the season gets underway.
I can't see them making the top four. I'm with you. I agree with that one. Let's go straight to the Brisbane Bullets, because speaking of a couple Adelaide 36ers have now moved up to there.
We're talking about they're Adelaide Light, Brett.
Adelaide Bullets.
What do we got? Jason Kadeem, Matt Hodgson, Nathan Sobey, Harry Froling, Anthony Drew. I'm telling you, that's five players.
Yeah.
Players that are all going to play. That's half the team there. Adelaide Light, Cairns. Taipans are celebrating that they're no longer coming up to Cairns, Brisbane, to steal their players. They can have Adelaide. It's like the elephant's graveyard now.
Look, they're interesting. There was a lot of pressure on Lamanis. They finished fifth last year, just outside. Their big loss would obviously be Lamar Patterson, who's gone to New Zealand. They've picked up some interesting people. Orlando Johnson, their import, and Vic Law, their import. I haven't seen enough of them to be able to say it, but they're going to need a big season. Nathan Sobey, the one for me. He's got to step up and do what he can do, and that's who it's going to revolve to me.
Yeah, they're very high on Vic Law, so I'm keen to see him, because anybody that comes in after Lamar Patterson, you know, has got a target on him, because Patterson was such a good player. So he has to be good. But again, I have them in that bottom group at this particular point in time, that 6, 7, 8, 9, which I can see them being a spoiler. You know, on their night, they're going to get you, but their nights aren't going to be that often. You know, I think they're going to be few and far between. But again, you know, we're doing this without a shot being fired. So
yeah, and this is where it's hard. And I know our listeners, normally we would have seen a preseason tournament. Mm-hmm. We would have seen enough preseason games. It is a bit difficult. I know, as you know, commentators and as you know, bloggers and podcast people that we are, I am struggling a little bit to know, because I just haven't seen enough of these imports. Now, I know there's only two imports this year, not three. But the one time I will say where the imports will be huge is now we move on to Cairns.
Yeah.
Now, Cairns are predicted to be up high, so they should be. They obviously lost DJ Newbill, because they can only have two imports, and as if you wouldn't bring back Scotty Machado and Cam Oliver.
Yeah,
so they will lead this charge. And let's talk about the Body Knight Taipans, the Body Nodge Taipans, please.
I've even got a couple of Cairns shirts, you know, that I actually enjoy wearing.
Probably from 1980, even in the league, but anyway.
The reality is that DJ Newbill is a loss. It is a big loss, because
he was for them. He filled in those gaps, played the defensive roles. Yep. He is a massive loss for them. Yes.
So you need Machado and Oliver to step it up a little bit more, but also guys like Mirko Cerek, the others in that group that have been given their opportunity all have to step. Kuat Noy, I hope he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, maybe he can make up a bit of the loss of DJ Newble. Mojave King, everyone is very high on this kid as a next star. So you're hoping that these little pieces, Jordan Nagatai from New Zealand.
Body Kuat Noy. That's the one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, if he can stay healthy, because he was having a Rookie of the Year season last year before he got hurt.
Yes.
So the thing about Cairns, why I like them is because I just enjoy the way they play. They seem to be having a good time. You know, they're not that dour professional team that we're taking care of business. Like when you watch an NBA team playing its 63rd game of the regular season and they're just going through the motions. You never see that sort of thing with the Taipans. There's an absolute joy and hey, we're getting paid to run around in shorts and singlets. We're among a bunch of guys that we get along with well. The chemistry's good. And I feel they should be approaching this season, even though Cairns has not won a championship, been in two grand finals, and then subsequently slipped after both of those grand final performances.
Yes.
Now you've reached semifinals, you've taken Perth to three games. Their attitude should be, why not us? Why not us? Why does it have to be United or Perth? Or why not us? And if they approach it that way and they can build on what they did last season, I rate them a huge. I've got them in the grand final myself with Melbourne United. I think they'll go that far. And why not them? Why not?
Yeah, I agree. Look, for me with Cairns, it's all going to me revolve around Mike Kelly. I love him as a coach. I think he's brilliant. And you mentioned it before, a lot of times when teams get up high and they finish third last year, only just losing 2-1 to Perth, mind you, who won the championship. But when teams do that, you've got that. It's like a fork in the road, isn't it? And you're sort of like, right, which way are we going to go? Are we going to go down that path where you can use the language that you're saying, why not us?
Yeah.
Or you go down the other fork in the road where it just goes, oh, my God, if we don't get back there, it's a failure. And that's where it's really hard. And that's where a Mike Kelly that was great with the way when he played, he was under that Gorgian influence at the Magic and everything. And they were always up there. So I agree with you. I think Cairns will be great. Grand finalists, absolutely it can be them. And I'm looking forward to watching them play. Speaking of Mike Kelly and the Magic days, Brian Gorgian and the Hawks. Now, Brian Gorgian, obviously, I have a great relationship with. He was an assistant coach under him for two championships, went across to China. This guy hasn't seen the semifinals any time he's coached in the NBL. Yeah. So he is a phenomenal coach. And if anyone, and then I'll pass it over to you, is going to love this bubble type scenario where they're together, they're in Albury, they go to Brisbane, they do whatever, it's Brian. Gorge will put them, he will make them the underdogs. He will get them tight. They'll watch video. They'll watch everything. They will be so primed. I've got them in my top four because of him.
I want you to know that he speaks very highly of you too. And he says you taught him everything he knows.
I tell him that every day. Mate, I can tell you as a coach, I was like a kid in a candy store watching him coach. Yeah. I tell you, he didn't need me there. He doesn't need anyone there.
No.
Right?
No.
He just, it's just unbelievable to watch him coach.
I want to say one thing, though, to the listeners who have been paying attention, that if you were paying attention about 3 or 4 minutes ago, Brad Rosen actually said Perth won the championship last season. Up until now, he's been in denial. It's been a Sydney Kings should have won it, should have gone more than three games, blah, blah, blah. But he actually said Perth won it. So that's...
We'll see if we can cut that out, shall we?
Talk to our director. Do not cut that out. Leave that in. We want people to know that Brad actually recognises it. Yeah, look, Brian's return to the league is maybe the most important single recruitment by anybody, because he is our most successful coach. The record's on the board. There's nothing has to be said about Brian. What has to be said is, has there been a sufficient talent assembled to make the Hawks contenders? You know, I've definitely got him in the mix I've got him in the five or six teams that are battling in for the four. I think they can get there because largely through him.
Yeah, also, I can't see them not getting there. I just because of him, I just know how he rolls. He's going to, I love Tyler Harvey. I think he's going to put some points on the board.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to watching Sam Frolling grow under Gorge. He'll get the best out of Emmett Nahr, right? There's no question about that. And with AJ, that's going to be the one where, I'm interested to see how he goes with AJ. But look, they're going to be great. Dengadel, he will play.
Yes.
And Gorge will junk it up on the defensive end and run his presses and do his half.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm looking forward to watching them play. So you've got them in your five.
I have them in my mix. Yeah. I've got to be honest. Each year, I don't pick a top four. I pick a top three. Okay. I automatically put Perth in.
Yeah,
and I've been now right for 34 straight seasons, so I'm going for 35. I know we're not there yet alphabetically, but when we get there, I'm sure you're going to join a lot of other Eastern States scribes and podcasters and experts and say, oh, this is it, Perth is done. But Perth is one of the first. Right, good. I'm glad.
The only one thing I will put is a Perth Wildcats without Damian Martin. He's like body without a moustache. It just doesn't, right? So,
you know what? They used to say a Perth Wildcats without Ricky Grace, a Perth Wildcats without Andrew Vlahov. You know, that organisation is superior to every other one in the NBL, and it's ruthless, and that's part of the reason why they're there. So, yeah, Damo missing will make it interesting, but I think people forget is that he was injured for a big portion of last season. And even when he came back, he didn't play a lot of minutes because he was hurt. So it's almost like they were preparing, you know, they didn't know they were preparing for life after Damo, but they were. Okay. And the other thing, they carried Tirico White on the credits of the previous season because he stank all year, pretty much. And they kept waiting that he was going to come good, but he never did. Now, Todd Blanchfield is going to be a better value than Tirico White was. So then you've got the curveball of Bryce Cotton's citizenship.
Yes, if that comes.
Well, if and when, bearing in mind you're talking about the Perth Wildcats, they might have already got it done for all we know. They're not going to tell us. And then when they're ready, they'll bring someone in for half a season and not have to pay them that quite so much. So they're a smart organisation.
They do. They've been doing it for 34 years. Yeah. They're great. I also want to put a shout out to Damo Martin, who has now joined the commentary team. So congratulations to him. He's going to be doing some home games there for Perth. So you'll actually see him, I think his first game's in round two, actually, when Perth starts. So it'll be good. Welcome to the team, Damo.
Yeah, that should be excellent. And the question is, how do they look without him? But we have seen them winning games without him. It's not as big a leap for Mitch Norton as people expect because you've got Bryce there.
Yeah. You
know? Do we remember Bryce? He's like, he is rapidly joining the conversation. I know a lot of the people that have been around the NBL for 5 minutes are saying Bryce Cotton's the best import of all time. These are people who wouldn't know Rocky Smith from James Crawford. But Leroy Loggins is, in my mind, still far and away the best import of all time. You know, anytime you win a championship between 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, it all went through Leroy.
Yeah.
And no other player can make that claim that every championship for 6 years in a row went through them. So Bryce has got a ways to go, but he's definitely very, very close. Another MVP, another championship, and it's a different conversation. And he's there, you know?
Yeah, so you're right.
A lot of people are talking down John Mooney, the other import. Well, I haven't seen him, so I'm not prepared to make that statement.
Yeah, that's where it's hard. I haven't seen enough of him. You know, they've picked up Blanchfield. Now, did I hear Tom Jervis has come out of retirement?
Yeah, I think at the moment that I did read that too. So I think he's in a backup capacity, which
I don't mind that.
No, I don't mind
that at all. Yeah, I can only assume, you know, he'll be in shape to a degree as any, you know, person that's been retired for a few years, but he'll train every year and they've had a very long off season. So look, you're right. I think Mitch Norton is the one that's going to change the ball club a little bit because he is a scoring point guard. He can score.
Yeah.
He's got a nice jumper. He can get into the seams. I don't think he's hit his straps in Perth like he did at that Illawarra year under Bevo. But obviously the huge loss for them is Nick Kay. You know, Nick Kay, when you lose a player like that and you take out Damian Martin and things like that, that's where the question mark is. So we will see them. I'm going to move on now to Melbourne United. Let's be honest, everyone is touting them. They're the team. Obviously, Jock Landale is the one that's the huge one, but we can't forget Scotty Hobson as well.
Oh,
what a great pickup. So
they've really
done this team. Yeah. So over to you. I'm going to just throw one kicker for you. I'm not sold McCarron at point guard, mate.
Okay, so we're completely different on that, because I thought one of the mistakes Aaron Fearn made when he was coaching the Cairns Taipans, when he had Mitch McCarron, was that he didn't play him at the point. He kept bringing in the American point guards. There's a whole bunch of them, from Scotty Wilbekin. I mean, there were some really good ones, so I'm not good disputing them boarding good players. But I always thought he's a good decision maker. He's steady with the ball. And you've got DMAC now as an assistant coach, Darryl McDonald. I mean, who better as a mentor if you're in the point guard role than that man there? They're one of the
I'll agree with that. I don't know. I just feel that, you know, a natural point guard bringing the ball up. Like, I'm going to put, you know, like, you take a Gorgian team, right? He is going to press. I tell you, he's going to go 90 feet on the ball every single time. He is going to work that point guard over nonstop. And I'm thinking of McCarron the whole time. Now, Shaley will do a good job. They've got a great backup there. I don't disregard that. And they can shift McCarron to the two. I am a massive fan of Mitch McCarron. The first day I saw him playing Cairns, I was like, yeah, this kid's got it, right? Yes. A little bit like when I watched Nathan Sobey playing Cairns. I just remember, these kids are going to go. And I'm a massive fan. I just don't know whether shoving him at the point guard starting spot for the whole year. I'm not sold, buddy. I'm not sold. But, geez, they
can wicked. Yeah, well, we can revisit that later, but it's because you're not sold, I am. So we'll see which of us does that to be closer there. I mean, your reservations are warranted, but also I have a lot of confidence in him as a player and as a smart kid. Yeah, I think he's just a smart fella.
You're not so bad, but I know Jack Crap, so I think it's been proven. Doesn't really matter what I say, does it?
Not to me or to Nikki.
Let's move on to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Now, obviously, their big pickup was Cam Glidden coming from Brisbane. Ruben Tarangi coming from Brisbane. I'm interested to watch him play. You remember, this guy was the best six man two seasons ago. Didn't get on the court last year basically. I watched a few preseason games and he's got some numbers. Mitch Creek's going to be the leader. He is going to, you know, he needs that MVP season. Kyle Admon's picking up some good numbers in the preseason as well. So where do you see them? For me, I can't see him in the top four, but go for it.
No, but I think they'll be close. They'll be in and around the mark. I think if everything went well for them, I could see them making the finals. But, you know, When does everything go right for a team? Very, very rarely, and I think they'll narrowly miss out, but they'll definitely be shaping the top four. Maybe they're a bit behind the Hawks at this stage, but I don't know. There's enough talent there for them to again be a spoiler, to be a team that on their night will get you. But how the new import goes in the place of John Robertson, that'll be very interesting too. You know, that's big shoes to fill there. That man could score. And remember that Cairns game when they were a million points behind with a few minutes to go and Robertson just went.
He just had that. It was like a slingshot shot, wasn't it? Like it just went bang. So amazingly. So he's great.
Yeah, I see them being around the mark, but not quite there yet. Maybe year three will be their year.
Probably the toughest team in the league to have to deal with situations are New Zealand, body. Obviously, it's well known they will not be playing any home games, or at least not in the near future.
They're
currently living in Australia, so they're not at home. It's very, very tough for them. But the New Zealand Breakers, they've got a damn good team, body. Where do you see them?
I've got them in my final four. If there's anyone actually dealing with adversity beyond the norm that everyone has to deal with, it is the Breakers, because they are across the Tasman from their families and their homes, and it's going to be really difficult for them. So one of two things will happen. They'll either fracture late in the season when you know it's just become too much, or, and this is what I'm predicting, they will bond and go, it's us against them. It's us against the world. We're here. We've got each other. We're a family. We're a tight-knit unit. Let's go and beat everybody. Corey, get away from that avocado. And on we go.
Look, I love what New Zealand have got. I just think a little bit like when I watched the NRL this year, it's just so tough on players, you know, mentally. To be away from home, family. I know some of the players have their families around, but it's not the same. And I just think the benefit they've got is it's not an extremely long season, but it's tough. And they've been away for a long time already,
Yeah.
So for them, yeah, I can't see them making four. And it also pains me a little bit to talk about the last team that we're about to talk about, because I can't see them making the four as well.
Hang on, back up. We haven't talked about Ty Webster joining him or Lamar Patterson. I mean, see, Lamar Patterson, he could be anything. He could really want to be proving how good he is now that he's not with Brisbane, that he's spent 2 years there with Breakers. And then again, you know Lamar's history is to come in out of shape.
Yes. And then get into shape. Into the All-Star Five, yep.
Yeah, as the season wears on. Well, we've got a shorter season, so, I mean, I don't know if anyone's seen him lately, but if he's still in that situation where before he comes around the corner, two tugboats come around, then, it's going to be difficult because HMAS Lamar might not have enough time to get into the shape they need. But if he is in shape, if he's come in with a point to prove, man, the guy can play. And he's a winner. Yeah, he does the things you need to win.
I'm a huge fan. Yeah. Dan Shamir, the yeah. coach of New Zealand. There was all these, is he a good coach? Isn't he a good coach? I think he showed that he was a very good coach last year and he's capable of taking this team to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm purely coming from the mentally stage, mate. That's where I'm coming from. I just don't think this league is so strong. There are so many good teams, every edge that you can get. Is such a positive and every negative is such a hurt. Huge, and I think that's where it will come from. So, but I agree with you, Lamar Patterson, unbelievable. He's still got, Tom Abercrombie, Finn Delaney, who's getting better and better, Corey Webster, Jared Weeks is there. And Ty Webster's
a big
unbelievable pickup.
Yeah.
So, interesting time.
Okay. Let's talk about the purple tide. What's going on there? Hey?
Oh, mate, I tell you. Okay, let me set the scene for you, mate. Andrew Bogut, retired. Kevin Lish, retired.
That's huge.
Jason Tate, hooping at Houston. Did you see that little movie he did on LeBron the other day? There you go, mate. Deshaun Taylor, he's the import from the last year. He was okay. Got fired from your team. But, that's all.
Cairns, you never played against.
Boom, boom. But also, you lose a fantastic coach in Will Weaver. Now, I like Adam Ford. I think he's going to be great. But, geez, mate, when you lose those players that you're talking about.
Now, wait, back up. You're a fan of Will Weaver? Remember he went for 17,000 substitutions in game 2 and 3 of the grand final series? I mean,
I didn't think that was good. Yeah, I'll agree with that. But
is he? Because that was when the pressure was on. I felt, looking from the outside, that as a guy that had come from the NBA G League, right? Now, remember, the NBA G League has got a bunch of players that are all trying to show their wares to get picked up by an NBA club. They want to get a 10-day contract, they want to get back in the NBA. So I think as a G League coach, it's your responsibility to give everyone an opportunity to show what they can do, all right? So you sub a lot more freely. I think he was disastrous for Casper Ware. I think Casper needs to get into a groove and have some minutes and hit a three, hit another three. Oh, I'm sitting down.
You say that about Casper Ware because he's in my fantasy team because I think he's going to have a stellar season because he's got it.
Yeah, I've got Scarlett Johansson and Monica Bellucci and a few others like that in my fantasy team. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm surprised it's not Bette Midler. And
anyway, yes. So I don't think Will Weaver's as huge a loss as people may believe.
So let's talk about the team.
He's only there 1 year.
Where do you have them? Well, actually, when you said 1 year, did you and I not predict this a year ago? There's no way he'd see his contract out. We thought it would be a bad deal. It's gone. So you're right. But let's talk about this team. What do you think?
Oh, I've got them. Look, I had them at seventh, but I basically, as I said, I've got Brisbane at ninth, Adelaide at eighth, then at seventh, and you can just interchange them, and Southeast Melbourne as well, put them in that mix. That's that group that, again, on their night, they're going to get you, but their nights are going to be few and far between compared to a Melbourne, a New Zealand, a Cairns, a Perth, and a Hawks. Yeah,
consistent. Jarrell Martin, I haven't seen enough of him. He's the import. I don't think he's going to be enough of that Bogut factor. You've got Xavier Cooks that went down injured. Sounds pretty bad. So that's not great. Angus Glover came up the highway, moved from Illawarra. I think he'll get some minutes. I think it'll be very interesting, and maybe he might regret not being under Gorge at some stage because that's Jason Smith mold type player. But I think it's going to be an interesting season for the Kings. I'm not sold on them. They've already moved out of Sydney. They're down in Albury, I think, moving up north eventually. And I think it's going to be a tough season for them, mate.
All right. Here you are. Question without notice. MVP?
Scott Machado.
Okay. Yep. All-star five?
Oh, God, you got me on there. Okay, my all-star five. Well, I'll go Scotty Machado, Bryce Cotton for sure. I'm going to Mitch Creek. I love Mitch Creek.
I've got those three myself.
Okay. I'm going around the league. I'm going to have to chuck in. You can't not chuck in Scotty Hobson. He's just such a baller.
Yeah, you picked four that I've picked. So now the center. Who's your center? Because you picked the first four that I did. So
I know. Now I'm worried because I know I'm going to pick your buddy Cairns Taipan center in Canberra.
Exactly. You got the five. Well done. Congratulations. And the prize is, listeners, you don't have to tune in next week because he's just going to be predictable.
Okay. Well, let's
Coach of the year?
I'm going to go Dan Shamir for what he's going to have to do with music.
You are just reading
my mind. Did you?
Yeah, I went with Dan Shamir, but I changed the title from Coach of the Year to Director of Basketball of the Year.
Okay, well, you've already said Rookie of the Year in Josh Giddey. That's a standout. So,
I think that there's a couple of other candidates. Mojave King is one, yeah.
What else is there now?
Best defense.
Best six-man. Or best defensive.
Best six man, I'm going for Corey Webster, provided he stays away from the buffet and the knives.
Ooh, okay. You know, don't ask me why, it's just standing out there, Shea Ely.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, good one.
Don't know what it is, just Shea Ely.
Most improved. Come on, here's a good one for you.
Oh, God, most improved.
You mentioned mine and you actually said this about him. You said this about him in this very broadcast.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go where most improved I find sometimes is a player that gets more of an opportunity than they've had and they stand out. So I'm actually going to go, and it's very left field, with Angus Glover with the Kings because I think he's going to play a lot of minutes.
Okay. I've got Sam Froehlich.
Oh, nice one. Yes. Yeah, that's
for exactly the same reasons, but also the fact that he's got Gorge as his coach. And I think Gorge will either make him or break him, and I think it'll be make.
Yeah. Right. Well, it will be make. You're right.
Come on, we're going too long here. Come on, let's wrap up. What are the rounds?
Okay, let's just talk about the first rounds. We're obviously looking forward to seeing what's coming on. The first game, it starts, when does it start? Friday night.
Yes.
Talk to me. Who you got?
Melbourne. Cairns. Melbourne over Adelaide.
Melbourne over Adelaide.
Yeah, well, I can't pick them to win the championship and then say, but they're going to lose their first game. No, they'll beat Adelaide.
Okay, that's in Adelaide, by the way. We go on to Saturday night, Brisbane versus the Hawks in Brisbane.
Hawks.
Yep, I'm with you. Cairns versus the Kings. I'm not going to ask you Cairns for both of those. Then Adelaide versus the Phoenix. That's a tough one for Adelaide to back up. I'm going Phoenix. Who you got?
I've got Adelaide in that one because that one is their second game at home. I think they'll have to win that for just the they have to win that. So
Mitch Creek at his old home.
I know, but they've got Phoenix again a couple of days later in round two in the same venue. That's when I'd maybe favour Phoenix to get them. This first time I'm leaning towards Adelaide, going like, come on, we can't start off 0-2 in our own venue.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And then to round out, I think we've got Cairns versus Illawarra on Monday.
Cairns.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that. Now, round two, it does start next Wednesday. So I'm just going to briefly go through them, but we can touch on them next week really quickly. Yep. Who you got? Adelaide's Southeast again. You mentioned that.
I think that might be when Phoenix get them, although I'll prefer to talk about that next week when we've seen the first encounter.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well, I'm going to throw them at you quickly. Brisbane, Illawarra?
There's no Illawarra, Brad. I'm sorry to inform you.
Mate, have you looked on the website? It says Illawarra.
Does it?
Yes. Have a look on the website.
Really?
Yes. It's got ILL on the website. It does actually say the Hawks, but on the actual website, it's got ILL.
Well, maybe someone's feeling ill. Who knows?
Boom,
but
boom.
But we're going.
You know what? Right on that, we are finishing. That's right. It. We are going to talk about the rest next week. Boddy, you've been sensational. There it is, the NBL wrap on the Brad and Boddy podcast. Boddy, thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries. Pleasure every week.
Make sure you mention, guys. I mention us on socials. Get on out there, the Brad and Boddy podcast. We have a ball doing this. Boddy shaved his moustache. He's wearing his 1980s shirts, and we love it. Have a great week, all. Speak to you soon.
Bye.